When we were worshiping, I saw a veil. We live in this world, and everywhere we go in this world, the enemy wants to put a thin veil on you so you don't feel or experience the presence of God like you should. And it's so thin you can't see it. And you know, what I saw was, this is a place of worship. You know, what's the scriptures? What did Jesus say at the woman's well? It says, God is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship is the meaning of existence when you come to the point of exchange and you realize that he did it all. There's nothing to do but just worship. And one of the things it said, let us lift up our hands. That song, lift up our hands to the heaven. The minute your hands go up, that veil goes down. That veil goes down. Why is it so many people is having shoulder trouble? Because that veil is hanging on their shoulders. Because we hadn't been lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting and giving thanks to the Father. So lift up holy hands without fear or doubting. Because God is seeking worshipers who will worship him. Amen? So we got to let God arise and let the enemies be scattered. And I think that's a point where the enemy wants to keep your arms down. Because I'm telling you what, I believe worship is the meaning of existence. Real existence. Worship is the meaning of real existence. When you understand what he's done, who he is, and who he's made you, there's nothing you can do but just worship him. And say what? Thank you. We'll talk about that next week. Whole glory. I got 10 minutes. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I told Justin. You know, the thing is, I told Justin, when we have a service like this and you feel it, I said, don't feel like you got to stop. There's times when we're not supposed to stop. You know what I'm saying? Because this is a house of worship. And so, to preach or not to preach, that is the question. Huh? Okay. John chapter 10. Father, we thank you for your word. Jesus said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and you might have it abundantly. Overflowing life. Life. Romans 8 says, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, God did. Amen? And sent in his son. The spirit of life in Christ. That word life, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. I've said this many times, but it's kind of like exchange. I'm going to say it till you get it. When you think of life, it's not just this life you go through. That word is psychezoza. It means God life. It means soul life. It means new soul life. Mind, will, and emotion. All being exchanged for a brand new one. You with me? That's what the life is all about. And that's where if you be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above, not on things the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life? Who is your life? He is. Soul life, mind, will, and emotion. You have the mind of Christ. So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You got to let it be there. You have a choice. In this world, your brain is bombarded with a lot of things. An old mind and a new mind. So set your mind on things above and retrain your brain to think like it ought to think. Because your brain is just a member. See, your life is your mind, your will, and that is your soul. Your identity is, as a Christian, is in Christ. Your identity in Christ. You know, we've been talking about it, but Isaiah 42:9, I guess they can probably get it faster than I can. But I want you to see some things. We've been talking about it. One of the songs we sang before the beginning of time, in eternity, in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9, what's it say? They don't know. Okay. Oh, there it is. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you. Old things has passed away, and what's coming, I'm going to tell you before they get here. You see that? Now turn with me to Isaiah 46:10. Let's look at that. They're on the roll now, I think. Yeah. It says, I am God, the verse before that. There's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Listen, declaring the end from the beginning. I don't want you to get out of being out of shape. But he finished everything before he started anything. And you were in that when he started it. And when you read Ephesians, let me read here in Ephesians in the Passion, verse 4. And I'll be glad when we can put Passion up here. Passion says, and he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Now catch that, okay? Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Verse 11, through our union with Christ, too, we have been claimed by God as his very own inheritance before we ever were ever even born. He gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God who works all things and accomplishes every person, every purpose and plan in his heart. There's so many other scriptures that talks about that. But we see in Christ, you were chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. And I was sharing with the guys, I want you to understand this. When Jesus came, he says, into the volume of the books it is written of me, I come to do your will, O God. You know, Jesus had to come to this earth. He had to decide to come to us. He had to give up his role as what it was and become human. That's Philippians. He had to become in the form of a man, being found in the fashion of man. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Amen? He became a man. He took not on himself the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. And he came to do all this. Why? Because we're in him. But he had to carry out everything that was written about him. You know, on the road to Emmaus, when the disciples said, you know, we thought that he was the one. And he said to them, you fools and slow of heart to believe all that's written in the word. Ought not Christ to come and suffer every one of these things and to enter into his glory? See, God finished it and then started it. And Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world because that was in the plan of his. He has a plan and a destiny for every one of us. But that plan and destiny he has for you can only be when you're in Christ. There's no plan outside of Christ. In Christ, whenever you receive Christ and you come into the fullness, everything God had purpose for you, he told Timothy, if God saved you, he called you. And he called you for a purpose. Not what you purpose, but what he purposed for you before the foundation of the world. He chose you in Christ before you ever existed to be in Christ. And he purposed his plan for you. That's so far above these brains of ours to see. But all of that was in Christ. But see, when Christ came, he had to fulfill every one of those. And you know, when he said, it is finished, you know, in Luke chapter 22, I think I'm going to go ahead and turn to Luke 22, start in verse 35, and I'll just read it with y'all. So you got to keep this balance. You got to understand it's all available and it was all done, but it's in your position in Christ. Are we there? Look here. He said to the disciples, when I sent you without purse and script and shoes, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. Next verse. Then he said to them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise, he who has a script or a leather pouch to carry his food in. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garments and buy one. Okay, the next verse. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. Do you get it? You remember what he said to the Father, when now is my soul exceedingly sorrowful. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Three times. He said, there's another way. But he knew it was written and there wasn't another way. And then he says, that it is written, that this that is written must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, Isaiah 53:12. For the things concerning me have an end. Even though he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, even though you were in Christ from the foundation of the world, everything Jesus came to do had to be done and carried out every jot and tittle to fulfill the law and the purpose. So when he said it's finished in Christ, everything that God had planned and purposed for you from eternity is manifest. It's yours to fulfill in God's heart. And he's the one that's working it in you through our union with him. You know, this exchange soul or this exchange mind, I maybe have time just to do this part. There's three aspects of this exchange soul, this new soul, this new man's soul. Now, I want you to look at it. There's three things: security, identity, and belonging. These are the three things that you need, and only God can supply that for you. See, people in the world are looking for all these things, their identity, they're looking for security, and they're looking for belonging. But the old soul can never find it. But you see this, security. The security is your will. Father, in the volumes of the book, I come to do your will. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Your security is the Father. 2 Timothy 1:12, the Passion. The confidence of my calling enables me to overcome every difficulty without shame. For I have an intimate revelation of God, and my Father in him convinces me that he is more than able to keep that I placed in his hand safe and secure until the fullness of his appearing. That's security. I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I commit to him against that day. Amen. That's the rest of security. That's the security you have that never moves. Nothing can take it out of your hand. The next is your identity. That's your mind. Let this what? Mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Okay? Look at this. Colossians 3:3-4. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie that ties you to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now with one in him, with him in glory. Who he is who you are. That's who you are in Christ. Your identity is Christ. Let me make it clear. Christ is your identity. He is your life. Soul life. I've come that you might have soul life and have it abundantly. That's Jesus' life. That's eternal life. That's what he calls. This is eternal life, that you know him, who's he sent, Jesus and the Father. That's eternal life. So know him. That is your identity. That's who you are. Is that simple? Christ is your life. He is your eternal life. Now the last one, belonging. That's the emotional part. How many of you know you can get a little emotional with the Holy Ghost? Come on. Righteousness, peace, and joy, where? In the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, the Passion says, just as the human body is one, though it has many parts, that together they form one body, so too is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter our status, whether we are Jew or Greek or non-Jew, oppressed, free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. That's belonging. So you have all three. You have security, you have identity, and you have belonging in the exchange soul. That's who you are. And the fruit of it is peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those that make peace. Oh, hallelujah. Whoo! Jesus said in John 8:23-24 to the Pharisees, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said, therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. There's only two options. What are the two? Being in Christ or being in your sins. Say, that's simple. You're either in Christ or you're in your sins. There's no third. There's no other option. That makes it pretty simple, doesn't it? That's why Jesus came to preach the kingdom of God and to experience and to show that he was truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word truth is divine reality. He came to reveal the truth about his Father. He came to reveal us who the Father really was. And God is love, isn't he? Divine reality. Christ's life, when he came, was different to the life around him. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof a way to death. Now I want to tell you. Now, I'm going further than I intend to. It won't take long. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you love one another. By this will all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. The new law of liberty in Christ. There is a new commandment for a new creation. And what is it? Love. God is what? As he is, so are we. So what are we? New creation is love. Love never fails. See, the disciples never understood that kind of love until the day of Pentecost. They had the phileo love, brotherly love. But this agape love that we're talking about, when it came in the Holy Ghost, the love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's the kind of love that makes a Jew sell his property and give it to people that have needs. We see that in the book of Acts. They sold their places and give it to everybody. You tell me they didn't have a new soul? They had a new soul. See, that's what that's all about. The law of liberty in Christ has brought us into a new family of faith, into a new and living way. How much of this new and living way do you see in the world today? It's either one or the other. I hate to say it, but there's not a lot out there, is there? I think that's the question when the Bible says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on the earth? See, all of this is programmed in the coming. And you know, this. I was thinking about this verse. I won't turn there. But Isaiah 46:10, when he says, declaring the end from the beginning. But the very next verse, Mike, says, who calls the birds of prey from the north? Who calls the birds of prey? Remember what Mike said about the birds of prey that's coming to Israel right now? It says, God who calls the birds of prey from the north. See, God's in control of this thing, saints. And when all this is going on, that's why you, and he says, when you see all these things happening around you, don't be afraid. Stand in faith, knowing who you are, your identity. It don't shake anything. It's just getting a little closer to what's coming up. Because as he is what, so are we in this world. Passion in Ephesians 2:19 says, so you are no longer foreigners or guests, but rather you are children of the city of the Holy One, with all the rights of the family members of the household of God. In this kingdom, we have a kingdom of law. It's a commandment I give you to love one another as I've loved you. Amen? You know what this new law is, this new life? It's the very nature of God. It is his nature in us. God has put it in their heart. Oh, help me, Jesus. All right. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you've purified your souls, in obedience to unfeigned love for the brethren. See that you love one another with your pure heart fervently, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever. Incorruptible seed purifies your soul, born again, new soul. That's how you purify your soul. You get a new one. Say, I got a new one. I've exchanged the old for the new. Amen? That's the whole thing. And I say, how does this look? How does this all work in you? Well, Mark 4:26 in the passage says, God's kingdom realm is like someone spreading seed on the ground. He goes to bed and he gets up. Day after day, the seed sprouts and it grows tall. though we don't know how, and by itself it sprouts and the soil produces the crop, first the green stem, then the head on the stalk, and then the full grain in the head. Then, when the grain is ripe, I added this. Then someone picks the fruit, because the fruit's not for yourself, it's for others. Somebody picks your fruit.
It is.
Amen, that's my version. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those that make peace. A new kind of love for a new kind of people. Amen? So we're going to have communion. And all that's about is the exchange life. That's what he's paid for you. That's the short version. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Say belly belly.
Belly belly.
All right.